buy the best you can buy.
What we heard at the beginning was a bang. Sounded first like a balloon being popped, and then there was a minute later there was a lady shouting back, and she was saying things like, "What are you doing? What are you doing?"
We heard a loud pop, then a bit of a smoke, and then some flames, and yelling and screaming.
From what we can tell, there was a gentleman that had some sort of device on him that caused him to catch on fire.
All of a sudden, heard some screams, and flight attendants ran up and down the aisles, and I think we knew at the point when we saw the fear in the flight attendants' eyes, and they grabbed the fire extinguishers, and then all of a sudden, we smelled a bunch of smoke, and apparently someone in the front of the plane, I don't know if he lit himself on fire or lit something on his lap, and it went up in flames.
They said there's fire, bring water, people bringing water, then two air hostesses brought the fire extinguisher, and they put on the fire, and then one guy, a sturdy guy, put a, you know, lock on his head and dragged him to the front.
He didn't say anything. He was injured. He was burnt quite severely on his leg. They were very careful in trying to make sure that he had nothing else on him, so it was easy to see that from the exposure that he had gotten significantly burned.
America, this is your wake-up call. Hope you had a great holiday season. For those passengers, they were happy to be alive. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney, ATN, that's the name of the show, and we're going to take you on a couple of wild adventures, but that had to be the wildest, I think. The plot to blow up an American passenger jet over Detroit, organized, they say, and launched by Al-Qaeda. Are you shocked? Of course not. And this happened in Yemen, where things were being laid out. Apparently, what this bomber did, this would-be bomber, he sewed bomb materials. They call it PETN. Sewed it into his underwear. That's what the Al-Qaeda leaders did before they sent him on his mission. Investigators are now saying that the suspect had more than 80 grams of the stuff. It's kind of a compound related to nitroglycerin. It was used by Richard Reed, remember the so-called shoe bomber back in 2001. He was trying to blow up a U.S. plane. Well, the same thing happened on Christmas Day. The voices you just heard are of the passengers who were trying to figure out what was going on. Omar Farik Abdulmutallab, that's his name, a Nigerian man whose father was concerned about him, so concerned about the weird, radicalized things that he was saying that he called the embassy to alert them, yet nothing was done. So all we have is questions. That's why I say this is the wake-up call. The PC police need to sit on their hands for a while or rethink this thing, right? Why did the Czechs not spot the explosives? And what is going on in Detroit? Because they had another scare on Sunday. Of course, this one they declared non-serious. And, of course, what is happening? You're taking off your shoes, your socks, you're being patted down. If you're going to an airport to fly home from somewhere and you're listening to me, or you have a flight in a couple of days or a couple of weeks, get ready to spend some time, because the airports are now a nightmare. Because what happens? Homeland Security reacts, only they react too late once again, and not, I think, in the right fashion. I mean, how does this happened? This 23-year-old almost killed those people. He had enough explosives to blow a hole in the jet. Abdulmutallab, a guy who had a troubled history, so troubled, like I said, his father made some phone calls. Since when does a father turn on his son unless he's really concerned about what's going on in his head? So here's the scoop. He was on a list, but he was on a list with 500,000 other names. He wasn't on the no-fly list, which has about 4,000 or so people listed on it. So that flight could have become more than a nightmare for the families waiting on the ground. I mean, now more and more is coming out about what he was going to do, about his recruitment, his training. It was supposed to be a Christmas Day suicide attack. Now, what's interesting is on this on this flight 253, the passengers did react, and good for the passengers. However, the reason the plane did not get that hole in the side is because it was a faulty detonator. And as I said, the explosives basically think of nitroglycerin chemicals and what that would have done. So yesterday's bomb, basically in a nutshell, didn't work because the detonator was probably a little bit too small or not in the right contact with the explosive stuff that it would have set it off. Can you imagine? So in the meantime, Janet Napolitano, you'll hear what she had to say a little bit later in the show, reacts saying that, no, the right things were done and agencies are reacting. Something is going to happen to somebody. I think this is a huge, huge wake-up call. And trust me, when you're traveling, expect long delays. Expect lines. Because now it's high alert once again. How could they have missed the explosive? How could that happen? Now, there is the technology that would have uncovered it. But we've talked about this with terrorism experts. I'm going to talk to Jeff Atticott, by the way, next week. You know that he talks to the FBI. He helps them. He was just over in the Middle East, and he was advising the people in Mumbai, and he does talks all over the world, basically, about terrorism and things to spot and all that sort of stuff. But Abdullah Mutallah has been charged with attempting to destroy a passenger plane after he detonated his device, just to throw that in. That happened on Friday. That was Christmas, right? So now the investigations come. What are the connections? What are all this stuff? What were the security procedures? Because he got on a flight in Amsterdam. And, of course, ultimately he was ending up in Detroit. How could he smuggle that stuff on the plane? I mean, these are the key questions. Sewed into his underwear. It was missed. Was he on any lists? He was on the one list I told you about, but he was not on a no-fly list. He's not there. And his name appeared on the manifest, and he was cleared to depart. But again, there was not enough red flags according to the system. He passed through a metal detector. His luggage was X-rayed. And normally, passengers coming from Nigeria, because of concerns over fraud mostly and smuggling, usually they get more attention, but he didn't get more attention. So, of course, airports around the world and here across the United States are stepping up security procedures because of what happened. They're increasing the pat-downs, the secondary searches. When you go through the detectors and get searched and all that other stuff, when you get to your gate, don't be surprised if they pull you aside, because now that's what's happening. But to me, is this a joke? These random checks do not work. So what does the U.S. Homeland Security Secretary have to say about what happened and where we're headed in the wake of what could have been a disaster in Detroit? And then, of course, there was another incident that happened on the heels of it, as I said, on Sunday. We'll give you all the details on that. How did security miss the explosives? Do you think it's a big, fat wake-up call? What do you want to see happen to make our travel safer in the United States? It's a great question, isn't it? How about profiling? 800-259-5791. Coming up next, though, we're going to talk about a former president, President Lincoln, and his image. Stay with us.
America is in deep, deep trouble because we don't know our rights. Let's get real freedom back into America by teaching and promoting the Bill of Rights with the 2010 Freedom Calendar. Why? Because our forefathers gave them to us. Because the Freedom Calendar is true patriotism in action. And because if you don't know your rights and use them, you may lose them. The Freedom Calendar is the best educational tool in over 200 years. It shows in detail how to use your rights, how to answer any bureaucrat, how to use your guaranteed rights for true freedom. The Freedom Calendar is the easy way to learn the proper use and function of each of our rights and is perfect for homeschoolers, business promotions, and fundraisers. Order your Freedom Calendar now for just $15, and discounts are available for bulk orders. Call 651-771-5234. Again, 651-771-5234. The Freedom Calendar. Know your rights or lose them. Order now while supplies last. Call 651-771-5234 today.
Are you tired of out-of-control, irresponsible federal deficit spending? Increasing the money supply without increasing productive output leads to inflation. You get less for your money. If you want to protect the buying power of dollars for your future, then call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. You've worked hard for your dollars. Don't let the government strip their buying power with wasteful spending. Gold has a 5,000-year track record as money, real money you can count on. No government-backed paper currency comes close. Ask me about the protection of private gold. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135. Central banks from around the world are stockpiling gold. They know gold is real money. Call Peter May at Midas Resources, 800-686-2237, extension 135, to discover the advantages of private protected gold.
A revolution in smoking is underway. A revolution all smokers of traditional cigarettes should know about. Keep listening for a special offer from PowerVapor.com. Standard tobacco cigarettes contain over 4,000 harmful chemicals. Now it's time to release yourself from the grip of big tobacco and experience true smoking freedom. PowerVapor.com is an e-cigarette with the look, feel, and smoke of a real cigarette, but with no tar, no carbon monoxide, and no bad odors. Power Vapor's e-cigarettes deliver just the right amount of nicotine in a water vapor that looks and feels like real smoke. Yes, you choose from four levels of nicotine, and that puts you back in control. Plus, you'll enjoy eight flavors and big savings over traditional cigarettes. Get the facts and see our demonstration video at PowerVapor.com. That's PowerVapor.com. Log on to PowerVapor.com right now for a special 10% discount and 30-day money-back guarantee. PowerVapor.com, the smoking gun heard round the world.
Talk about presidents and politics on this show a lot, like what, 80% of the time. Happy holidays, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. The Unpopular Mr. Lincoln, that's the name of the book. It's the story of America's most reviled president. Did you know that he was reviled? A lot of people have a lot of questions about Abraham Lincoln. Larry Tagg answers a lot of those in this excellent book. Larry, thanks for joining us on ATM. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Kate. It's great to be here.
Hey, it's interesting, just on the tagline on the book, what are the determining factors for Lincoln being the most reviled president?
Well, yeah, just have to read the things that were said about him at the time. And, for example, there were editorials in newspapers in the North telling people they should rub him out. They should stab him in the back if he were to be reelected in 1864. There was just, we think we've got it kind of strident now with Rush and Ann Coulter and Keith and everybody, but boy, it was a lot worse back then. It's amazing the stuff they said about him.
Yeah, no kidding. Tell us the beginnings of Lincoln. Like, what would people find fascinating maybe that they just have no clue about when it comes to Abraham Lincoln?
Well, I mean, just the fact that he came out of nowhere, very few people realize that he was elected with less than 40% of the vote, which is what, if you're really doing really poorly, that's what you lose by a George McGovern or somebody. He won with less than any other president in American history, almost any other loss by in a two-party election in American presidential history. So he went in as an unpopular guy, and then he proceeded to get more unpopular as time went on.
Yeah, what surprised you the most, I guess, when you were doing the whole research thing to pull this book together, what was the most surprising thing that you uncovered?
You know, I think it was when I reached the part about the Emancipation Proclamation, and I expected a North that was, you know, the battle hymn of the Republic, and, you know, as he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free. I always got the idea that that was the Northern spirit, but it really wasn't at all. He had to drag the North kicking and screaming into the age of emancipation, and it was amazing that he had so little political capital at the time and that he made such a huge difference in the course of the nation's history.
Yeah. And when you talk about the Battle of the North and the South, the Civil War, he really, I would think, in the beginning of the war especially, whatever happened to the Union folks probably was tied to his fate, right? So in other words, if it was like Bull Run, I'm thinking of the top of my head, if it was the first Bull Run, that would probably crucify, he probably was crucified after that.
Everything was laid at his door. And every election was a referendum on Abraham Lincoln's leadership. And every question led back to, the war, all the war effort, and things were going so badly for such a long time that that was hurting him and not helping him.
Yeah. What made you? I mean, you grew up in, from your bio that I read, you grew up in Illinois, but that's probably not the reason why you wrote the book. What drove you to write it?
I don't know what it is. I had a gene, I guess, early on, and I went through a lot of stuff. I wasn't always a Lincoln scholar. But growing up in the land of Lincoln, you kind of absorb it a little bit, and then I just kind of rediscovered it years later.
Yeah. If you were to, you know, it was a couple of weeks ago on 60 Minutes, President Obama gave himself a grade and he said B+. If you, as somebody who's done, Larry, all this research on Lincoln and put together this book, what grade would you give Abraham Lincoln?
A+.
I like that, A+, because of the things people didn't understand about Lincoln, right?
Well, absolutely. There was, you know, people don't realize that the heat of the Civil War drew everybody into extreme camps, and he was the only guy, he was the lone guy in the middle that was just keeping everything together. And it just makes an amazing story, but it especially makes an amazing story when you know how much opposition he was dealing with on everything he did.
Yeah. And what did the press, didn't the press kind of crucify him along the way?
Well, one thing about the press at that time was it wasn't supposed to be fair and balanced. And the Democrats had been in power for so everybody was lined up with a party. And the Democrats had been in power so long, I mean ever since Jefferson really, that there were more Democratic papers than there were anything, and they were, you know, duty bound to wound the guy every chance they got. So that was one thing that made the press so shrill. But also, it was just, you know, America was it was kind of adolescence, you know, and it was really wild and woolly, and he really got the bad end of that.
But in the research that you did, like you say, it gets the bad end of the media, and it was different at the time. Absolutely, you're right. In those portrayals of him, and who knows what he read and what he knew was going on, do you think Lincoln himself, I mean, do you think he had the ultimate confidence and could shrug off what other people were thinking? Or do you think in the research that you did, he was concerned about what was being said in the polls and all that?
I think he was able to shrug it off. When his secretaries would bring him a paper, for example, after the Emancipation Proclamation, one of his secretaries brought him this paper and said, "Have you seen what they're writing about you?" And what Lincoln said was, "I know more about that than any of them." And that was the end of it. Because he'd thought about it. He sat in his office and thought. You know, he'd convinced himself, and his mind was such a great, rigorously logical mind, and he knew what he was doing, and nobody was going to really make much of a dent. And so he had an amazing kind of resilience to that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Sadly, though, the end, of course, of Lincoln, the assassination.
Well, I guess it's about as unpopular as you can get. I mean, there was a guy who was reading these editorials, like the one that I mentioned in the beginning about, we hope someone will plunge a dagger into the tyrant's heart for the public welfare. And, you know, he thought, wow, you know, I think I should do it. He was a Southern sympathizer, of course. And actually, most of the stuff that I put in the book was, because it wouldn't be that interesting if I just talked about the Southern press. So I didn't even talk about the Southern press. All the stuff that I was bringing up was from the Northern press. And certainly with the Northern press, that vitriolic, it's not surprising that somebody picked up a Derringer and ended his life thinking he'd be a big hero.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, the book is terrific. I'm a huge fan of reading about anything about Lincoln, and that's how I was turned on through a PR person, but also through somebody else who recommended the book to me. But I have to tell people, you have the most fascinating background. I found out that you were in a band called Uncle Rainbow.
Oh,
I knew nothing about this. Somebody sent this to me. And then apparently, you have to take us all the way through this. And then you also were with Todd Rundgren, right? And Hall and Oates. So you were a musician.
Oh, yeah. All those guys. Uncle Rainbow is this great bar band. We got brought out from Dallas in the 80s, and just a West Coast bar band that was this terrific band. And then me and my friend Brent Bourgeois split off and formed Bourgeois Tag, and that was an Island Records group. And we did two albums and did our, you know, Tonight Show and all that stuff. And then I played with Todd, I played with Hall & Oates, and wrote songs for Warner Chapel. So like I said, it wasn't like I have been a Lincoln scholar my whole life, but I always was the guy on the tour bus that was reading about Lincoln and Civil War stuff in the bunk on the tour bus in between gigs.
I love that. Do you still jam for fun?
Jam? I play three or four times a week.
Good for you.
Fascinating. I couldn't give that up.
Yeah, good for you. Fascinating stuff. Hey, Larry, thanks. I know it's the holidays. We appreciate you jumping back on with us.
Thanks so much, Kate.
All right, you have a good one. Have a good new year.
All right, you too.
All right, Larry Tagg, and isn't that interesting? I mean, he was a bass player, a singer, a songwriter, and then he comes out with his book. It took him 7 years to research it. But as we were talking about there, he actually wrote some songs for some interesting people, including some of his songs were recorded by, like, Eddie Money. That rings anyone's bell. Kim Carnes, remember her? I'm going way back when. And then the Hall & Oates gig, he apparently played in front of, like, a million people in Central Park on the 20th anniversary of Earth Day. That sounds pretty cool to me. But the book is fascinating if you're a history buff. And also, too, it's interesting to get a different twist on Abraham Lincoln. Coming back, we're going to talk about what President Obama wants to see happen in the wake of this Northwest bomb plot planned by Al-Qaeda in Yemen. We'll talk about it on the flip side and let you hear what the Homeland Security Director had to say. Stay with us.
Healthy Hearts Club presents Heart and Body Extract. Supports clean, clear arteries, healthy blood pressure levels, healthy circulation and blood flow, regular heart rate and beat. What if you could avoid heart attacks? What if you could avoid emergency room visits? What if you could avoid surgery? How? With this Heart and Body Extract. 100% organic. No negative side effects. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now. 866-295-5305. 866-295-5305. Or order online at heartandbody.com. Take the high road to a long and healthy life. 866-295-5305 or heartandbody.com.
Are you tired of searching for great talk radio? Search no more. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Hello. At OfTheField.com, we strive to empower you with wild food preparedness. We get lots of amazing positive feedback, most of which we feature on OfTheField.com. Here's a small sample of all that people like you have to say about the wild food experience.
As a homesteader attempting to live sustainably, I was floored by the amount of information in this book.
Dear Linda, I would be hard-pressed to express how much you have impacted my life.
I'm amazed by the wealth of the author's knowledge and the depth of the coverage in this book.
As we see more and more GMO foods on the shelves, this information is good to know.
I am thankful to God for you, Linda.
I can't say enough about this book.
Blessings to you and your family.
The greatest effect this book has had on me and my family is that we truly see Earth's bounty everywhere.
Folks, thanks for letting us help you get back to basics. Read all of the testimonials at ofthefield.com. You can order online for you and your loved ones or call 1-888-51-EAT-FREE to share in the secret.
We all need to prepare ourselves. You might have the food, water, gold, and silver, but ask yourself, are you truly prepared? That's why you need to visit MaineMilitary.com. MaineMilitary.com carries everything you need. Gas masks, wool blankets, fire starter kits, high-capacity magazines, chemical suits, military surplus items, and much more. Do you own a firearm? MaineMilitary.com has a large selection of pistols and rifles suited for your needs. Are your local stores sold out of ammunition? Call or visit them today for prices on hard-to-find ammo and bulk ammo orders. You don't need to worry about having a military surplus store in your area because MaineMilitary.com is the only store you'll ever need, all from the comfort of your computer. Visit them online today at MaineMilitary.com. That's Maine, like the state, military.com. Or call them at 1-877-608-0179. That's 1-877-608-0179.
Men, are you urinating more frequently? Do you wake up to urinate? Don't ignore your prostate health. See your doctor for checkups and call for a free bottle of Beta Prostate. Beta Prostate is a natural supplement that helps your body support prostate health. Your prostate affects the quality of your life, including your sleeping habits and intimacy. Beta Prostate has plant sterols shown to support healthy urine flow and healthy sleeping habits. And Beta Prostate is so powerful, you'd have to take 100 saw palmetto capsules to get the same plant sterols found in one Beta Prostate. New customers can get a free bottle of Beta Prostate. You only pay shipping and handling. To get your free bottle of Beta Prostate, call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201. This offer is for one free bottle per household. Call now and try Beta Prostate for free. Call 1-800-257-7201. That's 1-800-257-7201.
America, while many of you were worried about the winter weather, shoveling snow in places where you normally wouldn't shovel snow, and finding that you're in the middle of delays in Detroit, they almost had a plane blow up, or at least have a hole blown through the side of it on Christmas Day. Yep, flight 253 did arrive, but luckily some passengers acted quickly. And also, luckily, the detonating device of Omar Farik Abdulmatulab did not work. It did not happen. Instead, he had burned legs when he came off of the plane. And then you trace back the history. This 23-year-old was from Nigeria, but he was being trained by Al-Qaeda. And the material he used that he was trying to detonate was sewn into his underwear, thus proving the point that we say all the time on America Tonight, and you don't have to hit any of you, I'm sure, over the head with this. Obviously, anybody who's traveled, we know that it's a joke, the screening procedures, and there's no way. I mean, let's face it, there is no way that you can 100% guarantee everyone's safety anyway. So we'll agree to that. There's just no way. Somebody will come up with something. There is a way to thwart security. But what is ridiculous, and we'll go through the do's and don'ts, is that now passengers are going to have to contend with these new screening measures because the airports, they're just tightening the security after this terror attempt. But what does it do? What does it do when you pull over a woman who's got a stroller and three kids hanging from her and you go through every inch of the stroller? Nothing. We keep coming back to the same people, the same hunting grounds, the same things. How do you get through security? This guy was on a list, but a list of 500,000 people. He wasn't on the no-fly list, even though his father complained about him and said he was worried. His father was a prominent banker, and he was concerned about his son becoming radicalized. You could tell that in his speech and the things that he was saying to him. So he called the embassy, yet nobody does anything. So you trace his steps back to Amsterdam, where everything starts, and then you end up in Detroit. And how is all of this missed? That's the thing. So, of course, now you turn to Homeland Security and its director, Janet Napolitano, and she did the Sunday Swirl thing, the talking head on the Sunday show, and she was on this week. Jake Tapper was the guy who was filling in for George Stephanopoulos. And he questioned her about a couple of different things, obviously, in the wake of this, including what's happening now. How did this happen, and what's happening now at this point? And here was her response.
We are investigating, as always, going backwards to see what happened and when, who knew what and when. I think it's important for the public to know there are different types of databases, and there was simply throughout the law enforcement community never information that would put this individual on a no-fly list or a selectee list. So that's number one. Number two, I think the important thing to recognize here is that once this incident occurred, everything happened that should have. The passengers reacted correctly. The crew reacted correctly. Within an hour to 90 minutes, all 128 flights in the air had been notified, and those flights already had taken mitigation measures on the off chance that there was somebody else also flying with some sort of destructive intent. So the system has worked really very, very smoothly over the course of the past several days.
Except for it didn't work smoothly when he was able to get through and almost blow up a plane. So then the question becomes, well, how come, again, this was never detected, never uncovered? What happened here?
We are going to go back and really do a minute-by-minute, day-by-day scrub of that sort of thing. But when he presented himself to fly, he was on a tied list. What a tied list simply says is his name had come up somewhere, somehow. But the no-fly and selectee lists require that there be specific what we call derogatory information, and that was not available throughout the law enforcement community. He went through screening in Amsterdam as he prepared to board a flight to the United States. The authorities in Amsterdam are working with us to make sure that screening was properly done. We have no suggestion that it wasn't, but we're actually going backwards, tracing his route. But I think important for the traveling public to recognize everybody reacted as they should. We trained for this. We planned for this. We exercised for this sort of event, should it occur. And B, we have instituted additional screening, what we call mitigation measures, that will be continuing for a while. And so we ask people perhaps to show up a little bit earlier at the airport during this heavy holiday season and to recognize we're going to be doing different things at different airports. So don't think somebody at TSA is not on the job if they're not doing exactly at one airport what you saw at another. There will be different things done in different places.
All right, so then the question becomes, what about the father link? The father who was, as I said, a prominent banker, worried enough, and not many fathers would flip on their sons and make that kind of phone call unless they really sensed that something was deep down going to happen or something could happen or what was going on with their son, enough to make a call to somebody at the embassy, but yet nothing was done. So she was pressed up on this, and here was the answer.
If he had had specific information that would have put him on the selectee list or indeed on the no-fly list, he would not have actually gotten on a plane. But those numbers pyramid down, and they need to, because, there's lots of information that flies about this world on a lot of different people. And what we have to do in law enforcement is not only collect and share, but do it in the proper way. Now, once this incident occurred, Everything went according to clockwork, not only sharing throughout the air industry, but also sharing with state and local law enforcement. Products were going out on Christmas Day. They went out yesterday, and also to the industry to make sure that the traveling public remains safe. And I would leave you with that message. The traveling public is safe. We have instituted some additional screening and security measures in light of this incident, but Again, everybody reacted as they should. The system, once the incident occurred, the system worked.
All right, so then the question does become, I mean, hello, do we need an overhaul? Is enough being done to protect us from terror attacks? There is no way. You have to go from 100% backwards. There's no way you can 100% guarantee that. Nobody can. I don't care who it is, unless there's Superman, and Superman doesn't exist, so we wish. There is no 100% in this game, but not enough is being done. For example, what could be done? How about if we were a little bit more careful of the people who came into the country if they were coming from a high-risk area? How about being a little more cautious with these visas? Still, to me, the most ridiculous thing that I have heard to date is the fact that in these cases of these thwarted attempts, you have so many people who've gotten visas and the visa expires, but yet nothing's done. This melding in, assimilating, whatever. Can you imagine? You and I wouldn't be able to do that in another country as far as I know, because I know people who have tried it and have been thrown out of the country. Not on purpose, but just because they wanted to hang around a little bit longer in England or in Spain or in France or wherever, but they weren't having any of it. So here's the thing. You had all of these passengers, like 300 people, on this Northwest Flight 253. And you want to talk about a miracle for them. Boy, probably, I bet some of them were shaking afterwards when they thought about it. Luckily, they weren't killed by this alleged terrorist who set off an explosive, because he did. It just didn't work. So let's talk airline security, but let's talk visas. Why are we still giving terrorists visas? There is no 100%. We're going to start there again. But boy, aren't we really shooting for at least somewhere in the 90 range. Okay? So Abdullah Muttalib, who's Nigerian, was given a visa with a 2-year validity to enter the U.S. to go to a religious ceremony. What was the religious ceremony? He confessed to receiving terrorist training during a recent trip to Yemen. And also, he was in a database of people with suspected ties to terrorists. Yes, granted, it was a database of 500,000 people. I get it, absolutely. But why didn't somebody, why wasn't his background looked into a little bit, and why didn't he have to have a better reason for visiting the United States and be granted a visa? I mean, why not? Have you ever had to fill out those things yourself? Have you ever had to fill out when you're just there for even a week or so? Trust me, I've been asked a ton of questions. I've given these examples. Probably my most recent was Ecuador. And even in a tame place like Turks and Caicos, I was asked a ton of questions. So, I mean, come on. The PC police need to cool it a little bit, right? You do. I mean, you gotta think with a clear head, things that just don't add up. I mean, I agree that you don't have to go off onto the extreme limb of ridiculousness. But we're not even walking in that direction. I mean, how do you keep missing people like this? How do you not know more with the visa? Somebody's granted a visa. Don't you think we need to be just a little more cautious about this for the people who want to travel here from dangerous areas with, interesting backgrounds? I mean, why do we constantly let people think that they're entitled to do this to us, right? Shouldn't it be on the person who's applying for the visa? Again, trust me, it would be on you and me if it were the reverse and you were applying for a visa to another country. They just don't give them to you because you want one. All right, what do you think, America? If you're out there, you're alive, and you're kicking, give me a call on this line, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, or shoot me an email, americatonight.net.
Before you throw away your used batteries, you need to listen to this. Now, going green can save money. Go green and save money by giving life to your used batteries by charging them with the Renaissance Charger. The Renaissance Charger uses a new revolutionary battery charging technology that effectively extends the life of new batteries and gives new life to used batteries. Invented by legendary audio genius John Bedini, this unique and patented charging system rejuvenates the electrochemical plate structure in the battery without additives, increasing capacity and maintaining cell integrity. Renaissance Charge offers a full line of products made in the USA for all types and sizes of batteries. Find out why our customers tell us the Renaissance Charger is the only battery charger they will ever use. Save your money. Save the environment. Visit us online at r-charge.com. That's r-charge.com. Or call us at 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514. Be a part of the revolution today.
Afraid to answer it? Afraid to answer your door? Did you know that debt settlement, bankruptcy, and attorneys will cost you about 10 times more than you would legally be required to pay creditors? These are not ways to help you get out of debt. They are expensive payment plans. And if you're in debt already, does it make sense to load yourself up with another payment plan? Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt in 90 days, guaranteed. And that's the website you need to visit right now. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. Zero debt in 90 days gets you out of debt without a payment plan and without attorneys or going to court. ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com is the quickest solution to debt relief on the planet. If you have more than $25,000 in credit card debt, student loans, or difficult mortgage situation, we can help, and we are the only organization to provide written guarantees on the results. Go to ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. That's ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Okay, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, yeah. Stop that. Oh, Kid, you're killing me. Okay. They want me to dress up like Santa. My thoughts? What's this gonna prove? They want to remind you about the holiday special. So here it is. Buy a month's supply of Life Change Tea and get 2 extra weeks free. Get some free tea in the holiday spree.
Oh my goodness.
Lose weight and don't become the size of Santa. Oh, who wrote this? Buy 1 month, get 2 weeks free. That's the best sale of the year. So go to getthetea.com. That's getthetea.com. Or you can call us at 928-308-0408. Come on, new people. 928-308-0408. And all of you that have ordered the tea, thank you for this year. We love you guys.
Yeah, we know. You love us too.
Alright, did anybody nail the score? Find out in our next hour. We'll let you know if somebody did or not. Pittsburgh and Baltimore, that was the game of the week, if you remember. So many of you were nice enough to call, because it is a weird time of year when people are seeing relatives, they're in and out, and a lot of people take a huge chunk of time off between Christmas and New Year's. But many of you were around, you lit up the lines, and you sent us some emails, and I'll tell you if anybody was a winner. And remember, next week is the tail end of the season, and we will do a drawing for the Dave Pell's School. Excuse me while I read more about it, because I got the certificate in the mail, so I will be, they mailed it to me. I will be mailing it to whoever the random winner is, and it's just a terrific, terrific prize. Whether you are a golfer or not, as I said before, you have to pass this on to somebody that you really, really care about if you're not into golf, because this lesson pack is incredible. I mean, it's a whole day session. You would go somewhere, and they have them all over the country, and it's basically good for a year. So you have a year to schmooze somebody, schmooze your father-in-law, give it to somebody you really like, whatever it is. But it's this school that they do. I've actually been through it a long time ago. It's the Scoring Game School. Yeah. Very, very cool. And like I said, they have them all over the country. They have these one-day clinics and all kinds of really cool stuff. And you'll get a copy of the book, too. For others, there were a couple of people that got copies of the book. You'll be getting those soon, as though they will be sent out to you. But this prize, this school, is worth, I'm going to say, $600-some. So more than that, though, it's just an incredible thing to go through. And somebody will randomly be getting that. It's not about nailing the score there. It's just about a drawing. Somebody wins simply because you called so many times to play the game with us. Plus, the NFL was wacky and weird this week, as it always is at the tail end of the season when you're trying to figure out who's going where and who's got home field advantage and who's winning the division and, you know, all that other sort of stuff. Dominating the conversation this hour, of course, has been the strangeness of what happened in that Northwest flight, the bomb plot that was planned by Al-Qaeda in Yemen, and the fact that you had this this Nigerian guy who had the bomb materials basically sewn into the suspect's underwear by one of the top terror bomb makers. Boy, that doesn't make me feel comfortable. I don't know about you. And then the question becomes, once again, it comes around to, I mean, what are your first thoughts on this? So you have a young Nigerian Muslim man whose father was worried that he was becoming radicalized. He was on a watch list. He paid cash. You ready for this? Here's some more details. He paid cash for the airline ticket. He didn't check any luggage. Ready? For a two-week trip, he boarded a flight in Nigeria, connected through Amsterdam to Detroit. And, oh, by the way, of course, we wouldn't have necessarily known this, but now he's talking, I guess. He was trained and got his chops through Al-Qaeda, and he tried to blow up a plane. He attempted to, but it failed. Otherwise, we'd have some dead people in the U.S. as a result of this. So you have the Homeland Security Secretary, Janet Napolitano, who you heard earlier, say basically that it's not part of a larger plot. Really? Do you think he's not part of a larger plot? I think he is part of a larger plot to take, again, and poison the minds of younger people, whether it's Nigeria, whether it's wherever it is, in the Middle East, wherever, and the martyrdom thing right there in their grasp, because he was willing to do it. It wasn't chickening out. It wasn't anything to do with that. It was the fact that it didn't work. If the detonator had worked, there would be people that would have died in the United States on a Northwest flight because he slipped through the system. And so I'll say it again. He paid cash for an airline ticket. He didn't check any baggage. It was a two-week trip. I don't know. Riddle me this. How many people go someplace? I don't care if it's young and dumb. It's not happening. Nobody does that. I've flown so many times, and you never see that. That was part of the problem. Remember 9/11? It's exactly what happened there. And again, missed. Another miss. So here's the thing to get ready for. If you are traveling, get ready, because you're going to have to buck up with whatever the new system is, and the new system is whatever they decide it is at the moment at that particular airport. New ways to check people. And when I say new ways to check people, I mean it's the same old song and dance, but just done in different ways. Guaranteed, because this even happened on my last flight at Thanksgiving from Orlando, guaranteed randomly, people, even if you've been search checked, everything else, people will be pulled out of line as you're headed for your, as you're at your gate waiting to board. So you're waiting to board, that will happen. The other thing we do know that is already happening, if you have anything in an overhead compartment or you want to get up and use the bathroom, that's an hour before you're supposed to land, too bad. Better wear a watch, better keep good time, because that's not going to happen. They're not going to let people do that. But see, we can go through these exercises, but it's an exercise in futility. I mean, you know, come on. You want to keep America safe. It's a tough task, absolutely. Terrorism is an elusive, can be an elusive thing. But here's the deal. What about these visas? They have to have a visa to come into the United States. So how many other risky people are out there who are laughing their heads off because they got a visa, they've assimilated, God knows where they are now, and maybe they're preparing to do this because they know we have such a lax screening process when it comes to being granted entrance into the United States, and I don't get that. I mean, absolutely, come on in. But shouldn't you be able to fill out the paperwork? Shouldn't somebody, I mean, shouldn't it be up to the person to demonstrate that they're, you know, they don't, they're not in cahoots with some Islamists or groups that advocate any kind of violence? I don't think that's too much to ask for. Again, I will point to myself being asked numerous questions, pulled aside, sat down at a desk, etc. I think I look harmless. In fact, I think I look approachable because people always do. I didn't take any offense to it when I was in South America twice and was asked a lot of questions, had equipment with me, what was I taping, who was I talking to, whatever, because I expected that that was a possibility, right? But now we're talking about, I think, empowering people to let them challenge us to try to come into the United States under false pretenses. And would there still be people that would wiggle through? Absolutely. But, there has to be a better way to do this. I mean, we can make a lot of compelling arguments for this, I think. I mean, really. And so what is the State Department doing in how they're deciding on these visas? Again, it makes absolutely no sense to me. It might make some sense to you, though. AmericaTonight.net, you can check in that way. Or the other way to do it, of course, is 800-259-5791. All right, just to wrap up something else quickly, because it is the holidays, obviously. I hope that you did safely get to your destinations and enjoy family time, whatever you did and wherever you were going. But there were people that also had to deal, sadly, with weather. I mean, snow is beautiful, fabulous, wonderful when you're in your house and you can look out the window and watch it fall, like I did, shockingly, in Dallas, Texas on Christmas Eve, where in the afternoon, as I was running around with my mother doing things, snow was falling. I'm like, snow? Are you kidding me? And snow that actually ended up sticking and hanging around for a day or so. In fact, tonight as I was driving up an approach to my house, I happened to see a snowman, and I thought, you got to be kidding me, a snowman. Who would think you would have a snowman this time of year? So I know that there were people that were also trapped by the weather in airports like O'Hare, and flights were delayed and all that stuff. So it had to be rough for some people getting to the final spot. But I hope many of you listening to me did that, and now you've returned safely, because that obviously is the name of the game. Remember, shoot me those emails, americatonight.net.
Okay, we got 3 hours left on this thing, and I can't drive and argue with you rubes all at the same time?